Well, good morning, everyone. It is, Mindy and I were trying to remember, I mentioned in Bible class, it's been at least a year since we've been over, and I'm glad that Cambridge congregation is resuming at least a more normal schedule. We haven't been three opportunities on Sunday since before COVID, so it's good. I'm glad that you guys are getting back to that, or are back to that. If you want to open to Psalm 139, Psalm 139 is going to be our centerpiece, and we're going to get to that in a couple of pages of notes. Mindy always asks me how many pages I have. I told her four, and she wanted to know if she should pack lunch, but I told her I would do my best to stay on script. So if I start to freestyle, we could go long, but I will try to keep my head down a little bit and keep to the script here this morning. But Psalm 139, we're going to start out where Solomon was, but we're going to end up where Psalm 139 is in regards to our topic this morning. I want to talk this morning about how to be relevant. How to be relevant. Relevant means having significant and demonstrable bearing on the matter at hand. Relevant, then, is when a person or thing matters to their circumstances and the evidence that they or it matter is obvious. People want to be relevant. You and I want to be relevant. We want to matter in this life. We want to know that we are important and that what we do is important. The problem we face is how to make ourselves relevant. How do I make myself matter in a way that is obvious at all? And how do I become and be or continue to be relevant? Within my family and within my work realm, I have heard many people, youths and adults, speak of their future plans. Those plans involve things like post-high school education or training, military service, volunteerism, vocations and careers, and other activities. And in all these conversations, I have yet to find a person whose aim was or is to be irrelevant. Regardless of their age, these people have spoken of the future they see for themselves, some in more detail, some in less, but all about how they want to make a difference in some way, somehow, to somebody. I have yet to encounter a single person who has said anything remotely close to this. Well, I'll tell you, Alan, or Mr. Wells, if I'm at school, my life plan is to barely get by financially, accomplish as little as possible with my time and talents, be invisible to everyone, leave nothing behind for anyone, and then find my way to an unmarked grave in a cemetery no one knows about. Yep, that's my plan. I want to be irrelevant. I do not want to matter. I have never had anyone say that, and I doubt that you have either. When you start talking about future plans, people don't mention these things. Not only do we want to mean something now, we want to mean something well beyond the now. We want to keep meaning something even after we have departed this life. And what observations do I base this statement upon? Cemeteries. That may seem like an odd place, but we have a very well-maintained cemetery just up the road from us, and Mindy and I have on occasion walked the loop created by the cemetery road for exercise. And one thing I notice is that every grave is marked with at least the name and the dates relative to the person whose remains occupy the grave. Now, some markers are larger and more ornate than others, more decorated, and some graves bear additional markers for military service and similar. But every grave is marked and identified. And even though I know none of the people buried there, it is obvious that they, or someone who cared for them, want visitors to know that they mattered. Those people wanted their lives to mean something even after they had died. And the challenge to being and remaining relevant to mattering on earth is quite simply time. Time has a way of obscuring all of us, of erasing us from earth's memory, regardless of how mountainous our life's accomplishments may be or may have been. And this presents a major obstacle to being relevant. How can I ensure I matter when one or two generations after I'm gone, no one will know that I mattered? How can I be relevant? Solomon felt this cold earthly reality and expressed it in his view in the passage we just read. I'm going to go ahead and read it again, Ecclesiastes 2, 15 through 17. Solomon said there, "Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? Solomon is not bragging here. He is more just stating the fact. He had asked God for great wisdom. God had given him great wisdom, wisdom beyond compare. So he's not bragging here. He is just stating. He says, why have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity or emptiness, for there is no lasting remembrance, no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after the wind. Solomon used his tremendous God-given wisdom to thoroughly evaluate the permanent relevance of his earthly physical existence, and found it futility in striving after the wind. Solomon, like others, recognized and expressed the hard reality of this earthly physical life. Here's what Solomon and David and James had to say further about it. Ecclesiastes 6:12, Solomon says, "For who knows what is good for a man during his lifetime? During the few years of his futile life, he will spend them like a shadow." David in Psalm 90:10 said this, "The years of our life are 70, about 70 years, or even by reason of strength, 80 years, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away." And then James asks this question, New Testament, "For what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." I do not think Solomon wanted his relevance to end with his physical life. I think that's part of why he uses that term futility and striving after the wind. He wanted to keep mattering. I do not think he relished the idea that others would come along who would not care for his accomplishments. I do not think he liked the idea that a host of others would come along who had no idea he had even existed. In this regard, you and I are just like Solomon. We want to know we matter. The CDC reported in the U.S. in 2019 that 2.85 million people died, approximately. I read that statistic, and I thought about how many of those people did I know personally. Those 2.85 million people, that's a lot of people. How many of them did you know? How many of them did you not know or will ever know? This, to me, gives us the idea of what Solomon was getting at. Like Solomon and the 2.85 million people who died in the U.S. in 2019, we do not want our relevance to end with our physical life. We want to matter. Also, I think about social media, and to me, a lot of things we see there demonstrate this desire to be relevant, this drive to matter. Social media companies use many forms of data to quantify relevance, things like likes and comments, shares and retweets, impressions. I didn't even know there was such a data, but there are impressions and reach, referrals, and click-through rates. These are ways that social media characterizes their relevance to us, and I would hazard to guess that if we are consistent users of social media, then we use some of that same data to track how relevant we are to other people. I can't think of anybody that uses social media that doesn't like likes. So where does this leave us in our quest to be relevant, to matter? How do we become and be relevant? First off, let's note, before we get to Psalm 139, a couple things. First is that this strong desire to be relevant, I believe, is God-given. In the midst of his dim evaluation of the meaning and relevance of his earthly physical life, Solomon also said this in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He said that God has made everything appropriate, we might say today relevant. God has made everything appropriate in its time. He is also, I love this part, set eternity in their heart. God has set eternity in their heart, man's heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. This word eternity carries the idea of time out of mind. So God has set a little bit of eternity, not that we're eternal, it's not what we're saying, but God has given us some grasp of that eternity, this idea of time out of mind. He has set that in our heart. And I think this is that seed that drives us to want to be relevant. God creates us in such a way that there is an innate sense of something beyond this physical life, something in the time out of mind dimension. We don't comprehend it because it simply is beyond our minds. It is time out of our minds. But it is there because God, our Creator, put it there. And it is this eternity in our heart that fuels our desire for a more permanent relevance. Now, if we have observed, Solomon was looking at life in a very earthly, physical way. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. And when you read it, you need to keep that solidly in mind. If you don't, you will become probably depressed at Solomon's view on things. But he was looking at it in a very strict, earthly, physical way. And I would even go so far to say that that's why he said, "So I hated life," in Ecclesiastes 2:17. At times, we too become over-focused on this earthly, physical life. During these times, the first part of Solomon's question in Ecclesiastes 6:12 may become paramount in our mind. He said there, "For who knows what is good for a person during his lifetime, during the few years of his futile life?" He keeps coming back to this word futile, empty, vanity. For who knows? We want to know that somebody knows us who will keep knowing us beyond our time on earth. We want to know that when time erases our earthly memory, we will still mean something to somebody. We want to be relevant. So that brings us to Psalm 139. And here's the good news in all this. We don't want to leave it where Solomon was in the book of Ecclesiastes. The good news, and I would even say the great news, is there is one to whom our life is relevant, and there is one who invites us into a life of eternal relevance with him. And how do I know you and I are relevant to God? Let's look at Psalm 139, the first 18 verses together. This passage is when I think about Scripture, and when I, like Solomon, get into these moments where you just wonder what it's all, do you matter? I think of this passage, and it has to be, in my mind, the top Old Testament passage, maybe even the top passage in the Bible, for demonstrating just how much we matter to God. It's important to remember that, because there are times when we either feel like, or it may be that people put us aside and we don't matter to them. But we always matter to God. Every one of these 18 verses bear the mark of our relevance to God. Let's look at these verses together. It's a bit of an extended passage, but as we go, I just want you to look at every way God says that David says that we matter to God here. Psalm 139, verse 1. "Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from afar." We matter to God. He knows how we go during the day. "You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all." That's kind of scary, isn't it? You ever think about the words you let out that at times, not all the time, but God knows what's coming out before you even let it out. You matter to him. We matter to him. "You have encircled me behind and in front and placed your hand over me." That is that God protects us. The idea there is building a hedge or a protective fence around and the covering hand of God over us to protect us. Verse 6, David says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful to me." The fact that God cares this much for David, he cares for each of us. "It is too high. I cannot comprehend it." And then David starts a new thought. "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, behold, you are there." And this is possibly one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. David says, "If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are light to you." Do we matter to God? Absolutely. Verse 13, "For you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." If you need to point to a passage in the Bible to somebody about, if you're having a discussion of abortion, I don't want to get sidetracked on politics, but these verses are it. Let's go to verse 13 again. "For you, God, created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my formless substance. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Do we matter to God? Absolutely. And the last two verses here, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts for me. How vast is the sum of them. You know, we may doubt other people how much they think about us, but David clearly shows that God thinks about us beyond measure. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Is our life relevant to God? Do we matter to him? Absolutely. From womb to tomb, we matter to him. From birth to Sheol, to the grave, we matter to him. And remember this psalm always, and especially when you have those dark moments, when you, like Solomon, ask, for who knows? For who cares? God knows, he cares, we matter to him, and he wants us to know we matter to him. And what about beyond the tomb? What about beyond Sheol, the grave? What about the eternity in our heart thing? The good news is, the great news is that God covers after this life as well. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's where we realize a little bit more of that eternity in the heart that God has put there. Relevant people, people that matter, are worth a great sacrifice, and that is God's only begotten Son. People that matter are worthy of a great reward, and that is eternal life. If we didn't matter, God would not have done these things. If we didn't matter, John 3:16 would not be in the Bible, but it is. And along with Psalm 139, this tells us that we matter. And relevant people, people that matter, keep setting God and Christ above everything else. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised, that's huge, if we have been raised, that is, if we have heard the gospel message and have responded to that message. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking eternity. You know, what we seek here is going to fade one day. We are going to fade one day. But what is above, what is where God is, will not fade. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. Set your mind on eternity. Not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I want to matter. I don't know about you. And I think I know about you. I want to matter. I want to know that I'm relevant. I think all of us do. I think you do too. Now, not only now, in the here and now, but forever. I don't know of anybody that looks forward, truly looks forward to going to the grave and to leave this life, because there is that moment where we question, are we relevant? But real, true relevance happens only in God through Christ. Relevance happens and continues through the gospel. Over 2,000 years ago, the author and finisher of the Christian faith told his closest associates, his apostles, this. He said, therefore, and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's real relevance. So these very same words help us become and be relevant today. So the question we're going to close with is just simply this. Do you need to become or be relevant today? Do you need the idea, that notion of that relevance restored? Because maybe you've forgotten it a little bit. Now, we have a song prepared for us to give us the opportunity. And you are more than welcome to talk with me or one of the other members here. If you don't want to come forward during that song, that's fine. But let us know. If we can help with your relationship with God, please let us know.